Hello, folks, and good afternoon. What another wonderful, beautiful day it is. I hope wherever you are, it is beautiful out, whether rain or shine. You're listening to Aggie Radio. I'm Jake Grossman, and this is Mindfulness on Air. We've been talking a little bit about how mindfulness is a way of paying attention to the present moment by using meditation, yoga, breathing techniques. It involves consciously bringing your awareness to our thoughts, feelings, without making judgments about them. It is a method for observing what is happening right now in our bodies, minds, the world around us. And so it can just be a particular skill, a tool for any area of your life. It can be a whole path. Meditation can support all aspects of your life. It can be a way of life. And so it's really about bringing an aware, awake, intentional presence to your life and noticing what's happening within you and around you. And so this week we have another wonderful guest on the show with me today. We have on Brooke Smith. She's a doctoral student in the Department of Psychology, a fellow meditator, and I'm glad to know her and have her on the show. So welcome on the show, Brooke.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm enjoying the weather, and yeah.
It's
a beautiful day.
It is indeed, and already you can pick up that she's pretty mindful, aware of what's happening. So, starting off, I typically like to ask, going along with that definition, but a definition really doesn't describe, especially when we start talking about meditation supporting our life, or being a way of life, or a path, or just all the things. It's very dynamic.
Yeah.
And so it's helpful in that way to know what we're talking about and to connect the different segments. But really, what does meditation mean to you?
Meditation to me is, it's like you said, it's a way of life. More mindfulness is a way of life. Meditation is the time that I take out of my day to sit down and be present with everything on purpose. So that's the, it's a half an hour usually half an hour that I actually sit on my cushion and become aware of what's going on.
And so you said that you actually take time out of your day, and I know that's helpful. Is that the only time for mindfulness, for meditation?
No, it's not. I do about a half an hour of formal meditation practice a day. But I do, as you said, try to incorporate it into my everyday life as much as possible. So washing the dishes mindfully, gardening mindfully, lying in bed and mindfully watching my breath before I fall asleep while I'm reading often. It's kind of hard to do. I've been working on trying to be mindful while I'm reading academic stuff.
Right.
That's a little harder. But when I'm reading, books on mindfulness, it's pretty easy.
Kind of, a lot of them are built in.
Yeah.
To be aware.
Exactly.
But yeah, some assignments or reading through an academic journal or something is kind of like we're just trying to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that really sums up a lot of what we're talking about here is we're rushing through or on automatic pilot to just get through till the next thing happens. Meanwhile, we're missing life. But before we start diving into all that, I wanted to actually pick up, you were talking about doing dishes mindfully. Could you explain a little bit on the difference between, because when I'm doing them, which isn't very often, I have to admit, or as little as I can, I guess. I'm pretty, try to get away from that, but the times I do is I'm thinking, yeah, I'm pretty aware of this, and it's something to rush through. It's a chore.
And so how
is that different, or what is the shift that needs to be possible that this is an activity of mindfulness or meditation instead of a chore that I just want to be over?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mindfulness is bringing your attention to whatever is happening in the present moment. So the present moment's always happening, and we can bring our attention to it anytime. So doing the dishes, it's bringing your attention to that task. So what does the water feel like on my hands? What does the soap feel like? Can I notice the feeling of the bubbles of the soap as it touches my hands, as it moves on my hands, noticing the temperature of the water and the weight of the dish, and really just bringing that quality of awareness to what I'm doing. So like you said, you can do the dishes in different ways. It can be a chore that you're just trying to get through, mm-hmm. or it can be a moment to bring mindfulness to your life, to really appreciate, you know, this thing that I do, you know, every day or once in a great while for you, yeah. maybe, but this chore that I'm so used to doing mindlessly, what is it really like? Like, what am I actually doing? What's it feel like? What's it, you know, what are the different qualities about it? And it can, mm-hmm. it can become, so much more rich that way and not a chore.
Right.
It can become fun and interesting. Yeah.
So, and I see how that's definitely helpful, the physical sensations, feeling the plate, the sensation of holding it and touching it, the weight, the temperature of water and soap. What about our thoughts, the reactions that's coming up? Is that still part of it? As I'm thinking now, reflecting on doing that, I realize there's a lot of gratitude that comes up that these are what we eat off of.
Yeah,
and this is what somebody wonderful in my life prepares and does. And here I am trying to just get it over with. And am I even cleaning the dishes when my mind is so full of junk?
Yeah, are you even cleaning them well, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great point about gratitude. And the dishes are the tools that we use to help to nourish ourselves. You know, like mindfulness of eating is another one that is an everyday activity that we can bring mindfulness to. And the dishes help support that, right? So the food that nourishes our bodies also needs a place to rest, something to be served on. And contemplating that while we're doing the dishes is another form of mindfulness, definitely.
Nice. And so I'm hoping folks listening can actually fill in the blank if this isn't something that is possible for them, or they're not quite there yet, or I'm seeing already as you're mentioning this that really any kind of task doesn't have to be just a task anymore. It starts becoming life. It starts being a part of my life and the presence I am bringing to it, and therefore a lot of it is what I am doing. A lot of it is my mind state that I'm bringing to this activity. It's not that difficult, actually, when we stop and think about this. This is not that difficult to wash a dish. We may have specific limitations in our individual lives, of course, but to just lift a dish in water and kind of rub it clean, it's so much we bring to it, the weight of this, of complaining about it or whatever. So there's all that too, but really this is pretty applicable to anything we do throughout our day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point about what we bring to the task, right? So we're bringing, oftentimes, bringing stories, right? Bringing mm-hmm. stories about how this is a chore and I don't want to do it and I have better things to do. And all of these thoughts and all these ideas that we carry with us from our past are also something to be mindful of, right? Mm-hmm. So they may come up as we're doing the dishes, and that's perfectly natural and to be expected, considering we've lived our entire lives probably with these kinds of ideas.
Right.
So as we're doing the dishes, noticing those thoughts, noticing the inclination to want to rush, right? The thought of, I really wish I wasn't doing this, or, you know, I hate the dishes. I actually really like the dishes, so it's for me really relaxing. But whatever chore it is, even whatever activity it is in your life that you might have stories about, or that you might have this desire to just get it over with, right? Just
right.
Noticing that.
Right. And so how does it work? Why is, because you said kind of taking the time, so I imagine this is a way of slowing down, being with what we're doing, and being with maybe our aversion or the thoughts, our reaction to what we're doing. And it's taking that into account, so it's not judging, really. It's noticing that's happening right now too, those thoughts, these reactions. I can be mindful of that. But it really seems to be slowing down and noticing what is happening. I mean, we've talked about how it is being present. Why is this helpful? What is the process of doing this that allows to become meditative?
Yeah, another great question. I think that slowing down and noticing what's happening in ourselves and in the environment gives us the opportunity to step back a little bit from that experience and to recognize that it is an experience. It's just an event, like any other event. So I might hear a sound in the room and there's this sound event happening. Right. And I might have, a thought, and that it's a thought event, or I might have an emotional event. And when we can see things as simply events, we can be more objective about them, and it's easier for us to resist getting caught up in these stories. And the more we practice that, the better we get at it. It's really just a skill, like any other skill. It takes practice. And then when other stuff comes up in our lives, right, things that aren't maybe as innocuous as washing the dishes, but maybe an emotional event, loss of a job, or, difficult event, or a happy event, we're able to see it with a little more objectivity. And not that we don't feel the emotions,
right,
but it gives us this space in which that we can choose how we act, as opposed to reacting out of a knee-jerk response that we have had our entire lives.
Right. So it's actually sounds like seeing a little more clearly, able to allow that space, not forcing it or creating it, but really just allowing it to be there to hold everything else that's there, and really to appreciate. Doesn't have to be, I don't mean that in a way of all of a sudden it's positive or I like it or condone what's happening, but maybe just to appreciate and validate that it is happening. But that space and allowing seems to really, and you mentioned it, that's key. Not only is that where we're going to see what's happening truly, but that allows us to be able to act, to respond wisely instead of reacting. It also seems like it allows that space to appreciate what's there, but to really be with it more fully.
Yeah, definitely.
So and which just opens up a whole other layer of more thoughts and feelings of then what is happening, because then we're becoming aware of them more. And seems like there's a deeper appreciation when we stop and do that, or actually we don't even have to physically stop, but when that starts happening, we're allowing that space for things to be there. We might see connections that we didn't see before, that we overlooked. We might find just a lot more depth, how lucky we are to be in this situation. It becomes not so much why is this, why me story. We're bound up with this identity. It's noticing these events that it's happening, but really just seems to allow that space for some depth to unfold, to really appreciate maybe who I'm with or what is happening, instead of rushing through all this and feeling like we're blown around by the events of our lives, and feeling like it's the end of the world, every little event, when it's another event coming and going.
Yeah. I think I like that metaphor of being blown around by our lives. And I think a lot of us go through our lives like that, being blown around by the different events in our lives, by our emotions, by our thoughts, and not really choosing how we live. Right? We're not really making a choice when we are in that reactive mode. And mindfulness gives us the opportunity to slow down and to see that, right? We see the event in our lives. We see our emotional reaction, our thoughts, and then we can see our behaviors. And we really can see each piece of this. And I think that what you said about appreciation is absolutely true. that this natural appreciation just kind of comes out of it. It's not like we're trying to force ourselves to appreciate the moment. It just happens.
Right.
It just happens. And then we can also choose how we want to act. So it lets us see our conditioned patterns of behavior that we've had our entire lives, that we get from society, our family, friends, mm-hmm. media. And it allows us the opportunity to, if we want, to act differently. Right? A lot of people struggle with changing behaviors.
Right.
Like people...
Even very harmful behaviors.
Yeah, substance use, anger, difficult... maybe with depression, having a difficult time getting out of bed and going to school or going to work. So a lot of behaviors we really struggle with, and bringing mindfulness to our patterns and giving ourselves that space, it can allow us the opportunity to then be able to act, to be able to change mm-hmm. our conditioned patterns.
Yeah, so it seems kind of like we feel like it is happening to us. It's blowing us around. And it sounds like when we take this moment to stop, to see what's actually there, we are making a choice already. We do have the choice, but it's so overlooked. It's so conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
We're habitually, that part is just automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't I change, or this thought, or just really whatever, fill in the blank, that's why awareness, the simple word mindfulness or awareness, is so powerful, because it allows you to notice that
mm-hmm.
and allow that space, and sometimes for it to just be there, sometimes just shining the light. Well, every time shining the light allows the darkness to dissipate. And so sometimes just becoming aware, wow, I'm feeding this. I didn't even know I was making this choice. My attention was just constantly on this negative attitude, and it was just reinforcing it, instead of realizing this is here and I can just see it for what it is. And that sounds really simplistic, I understand, but sometimes that's all that needs to be done, and other times seems like the solution or just whatever's going to happen really needs that space.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sometimes all we need is just to bring awareness, and then will naturally start moving towards what is helpful for us, what's wholesome, what's good for us, what nourishes us.
Right.
It's just that's what humans do naturally.
I often wonder, actually, we talk about on the show and just meditation in general, why it's so helpful and the benefits, and if you meditate, this will happen or could happen or it'll reduce this, and which are all great things. And can be just a tool for that, an ability to cultivate the skill to be able to do that, to reduce stress, to become aware, to be a little more settled, a little more relaxed. And those are all fine things. But sometimes I wonder if it's really even happiness, dare I say, we can be happy and well-being. Even that sometimes just seems like a byproduct, something you're not trying to force and make happen. Well, instead of paying attention to these negative thoughts or being unhappy, I'm all of a sudden going to be happy, right? And it almost just seems we just start living fully our lives, aware of what's happening, and it's almost happiness, the stress reduction, all the many, many benefits of meditation, mindfulness, in the various forms, that is. This is not the only way to go about that. It's just one tool for that. Really seem to just happen. I don't know if that's quite the right way to explain it, but it seems like a byproduct almost. We just, it seems like down the road, we just notice, oh wow, I'm a little more content. I didn't even notice. I was just too busy appreciating what's happening, and now realize that's called contentment.
Yeah.
Or instead of trying to go out there and find every book or path that will make me succeed or happy, I just kind of started being aware and appreciating what I do have, what is here, noticing what's happening, and some things just seem to really flower, to really grow out of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that sometimes it can be a sticky place where people get stuck. This idea of, I want to be happy, so I'm going to force myself to be happy, or I need to push the sadness away. And that, it doesn't usually work, mm-hmm. right? When we try to make ourselves feel a certain way, or make ourselves not think something, or make ourselves think something, it tends to backfire, right? The thought we're trying to not think, we end up thinking more. Mm-hmm. The feeling we're trying to not feel, we end up feeling more intensely. So just all of that effort, just letting that go and just really sinking back into this present moment, you're right, it just, it naturally brings relaxation, and these things are byproducts, like you said. It's where humans, it's how we are, and when we allow that to surface, it just does on its own. It's when we're fighting and when we're struggling with these different experiences that we find ourselves suffering.
And byproduct, these are very important byproducts, but it just seems like a natural evolution that mm-hmm. that just happens. It's kind of like growing a plant. You know, there's things we have responsibilities, there's actions we can take, we bring an intention to doing that, but you really, the fighting of not thinking this, not doing that, I want to start feeling that you were just explaining, seems to be, instead of just putting the plant where it needs to grow, making sure the soil is good and has enough sun or shade, and then the proper amount of water, which is all we can do. It seems like the struggle, the fight, the trying to get to the end is kind of like going and trying to just pull the plant up to make it grow.
Yeah, it's a great metaphor.
And it just, there, allowing ourselves to settle back to the moment really seems to allow us to be aware of what we can and can't do, or what needs to be done or doesn't need to be done. Mm-hmm. And then we can go about that and just allow it all to just unfold.
Yeah.
Instead of going around trying to pull the plants up, making them, making them grow.
Yeah. I don't want a tomato, I want a pepper.
Yeah, or that. Yeah. Yeah. You plant the seeds of a pumpkin, most cases that's what's going to grow. where our actions and attention are, that's what comes to fruition.
Yeah.
You mentioned when you were talking, an image came up that I might have heard somewhere else, but I know I've definitely heard it from you, that it doesn't have to be the struggle or fight to get to the end goal. It's a bit like trying to get to the North Star. This is, can be important and helpful. These are tools we can pick up and use, directions, but that seems to be, it's a direction. It's a way of allowing ourselves to be here. Mm-hmm. Instead of actually trying to get to the North Star, because you said we would backfire, and that's when that image came up, is you would eventually come back to where you started. You would go around the globe trying to get to the North Star and be back to where you started. So when you said backfire, the struggle, sometimes we take this into account, use these tools and techniques, but a lot of awareness, because sometimes it's just a direction, not necessarily a goal.
Yeah, yeah, I think mindfulness does fall into that that kind of category of things that are more like guiding principles or directions, as opposed to attainable goals in the here and now. Right, being happy is a goal. That's something that when we try to strive to be happy can often backfire. But just being mindful, using that as a guiding principle, you can do that for the rest of your life. You'll never have achieved mindfulness.
Right.
I mean, you could be mindful in this moment and the next moment not mindful and the next moment mindful again. So it's just, it's aligning your life in that direction, and then maybe happiness will occur.
Right. And that's where that connection is. Some people are missing. How do we go from getting to the North Star? Is that when we were saying it was the byproduct, or we're just kind of allowing these conditions to arise, then happiness may or may not arise, but there's definitely things we can do for our own well-being and to just be here. And so that's where making that connection, like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually, just like directions and being here and aware, mm-hmm. allows what happens to unfold.
Yeah.
Instead of us going around trying to fix it all.
Yeah, and I think like you talked about the plant, a plant given sunlight and good soil and water will it will grow. That's what plants do. And awareness is like that sunlight, right? It's like that water. And when we give ourselves that, we do naturally move towards what's wholesome, towards what helps us, what nourishes us, what's good in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happiness does come from that.
Right.
It's just the striving to be happy.
At all costs.
At all costs can sometimes actually bring about the opposite.
Right. Because yeah. Instead of wholesome, I pick up on that a little bit, seems to me to be what leads to non-harming. It leads to, may lead to the happiness, but is a little more unconditional. It is not conditioned on, as long as I have this, I'll be happy, and anybody that gets in the way or the struggle or striving to get to where we're going at all costs seems to just bring more of the same old internal or external fighting, mm-hmm. because we're not being mindful of everything else involved to get that.
Yeah, because we can't always be happy, right? Humans aren't always happy. The idea that we can be happy all the time and never be sad or never be angry it's a fiction. And it's a fiction that we've been fed our entire lives through our culture and through the media. And it's something we think we should be able to achieve, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we see it in movies,
right?
Right? They're happy. I mean, they just need that one relationship and then they're happy and mm-hmm. they live happily ever after. But it's not realistic. And when we acknowledge that and we allow ourselves to feel the whole range of human experience, life becomes so much more complex and deep and rich. And there's a deeper contentment that comes from that right. It's maybe not the same as the happiness we see on the screen. It's deeper, it's more long lasting, and it includes some moments of sadness.
Not so fleeting.
Yeah. It's a ground we can rest on.
Right. And it seems to really hold a lot more. Even the less pleasant things can still be held on that ground. And in fact, a lot of times we don't really know what it even feels like, where it's located in our body, where this anger or sadness really even is. We just know it's unpleasant and therefore we don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I was just noticing that the other day, not always feeling. And the other thing is, when we're sold this idea of you can be permanently happy, it's definitely a fiction if that rests on other things working a certain way. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be that deeper contentment, I guess equanimity would be more the word, to just be able to hold and be okay with what is there. Not a settling, like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But just to really be not blown around, that I'm fine and have a really good, strong sense of well-being, even when things aren't working out. And so it isn't being blown around as much.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just thinking of that when I wasn't happy every moment, other things arise, that I caught it for once. I was just, I feel terrible. And you kind of go inside, well, where is it? It's like maybe just some tension or some burning. Just, I couldn't quite pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so interested in that. It's like, this is what I'm missing every time we go from whatever wandering state of mind we're now to all of a sudden angry or depressed or sad, whatever it is, we don't really notice that. We're not stepping back going, is this the logical thing to be doing right now? Did that person mean to do that? No, you are that anger. You are that sadness. You are even that joy. You've kind of taken on that definition. You've identified with it so much that taking that moment to just notice, instead of jumping to, this is not my picture of being perfectly happy or content, to automatically wanting it to go away, just taking that moment to, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting to notice, oh, this is what happens every time I just go kind of on autopilot. This is a completely felt like a foreign experience, but this is what is always maybe happening inside.
And you just weren't aware of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so even though it was not bliss or rapture or happiness, it was still okay. I was going to survive it. It was just like, wow, here's this feeling. And it was difficult to really pinpoint. Where do you feel it? Where is happiness located? I mean, anybody listening, you know, point to happiness. Point to the mind, for that matter. It's very difficult, and that's why kind of becoming aware and noticing where that felt quality is within the body really allows for things to kind of connect. Mm-hmm. And there's just an appreciation. This is an incredibly deep feeling, very complex, that started out not wanting it to then, this is very interesting. It is still uncomfortable. You know, maybe your skin's crawling or you're burning up, whatever the emotion or feeling was. But there was a deeper feeling. It just really felt like you could almost dive into this and explore it.
Yeah. 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 When you talk about the feelings that you hadn't noticed that were probably there the whole time, you had just not had awareness of them. I experienced that at the end of every semester of school, you know, actually every weekend as well. Every weekend and every end of the semester, so Christmas break and summer break, I find myself being really just grumpy and unhappy and kind of depressed. And this is actually, I just finished teaching a class, and now I'm free again. I have free time. It's like summer vacation. And I noticed yesterday just this feeling of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens a lot, I think, because during the semester, I'm so busy and I'm just going from one thing to the next, and a lot of times not as mindfully as I would like. And these feelings build up, and then when it all ends, it's like they catch up with me like a freight train, you know, like you're going along and all of a sudden the train stops, and it's like all the baggage in the back comes hurling towards the front, and it's like, oh wow, I have a lot of stuff I haven't dealt with.
This is what I've been running away from.
Yeah, it's what I've been not noticing.
Outrun it.
Yeah, and just not noticing when you're so busy and you just don't, you know, maybe something happens, maybe you have an interaction with somebody during your day that is a little disconcerting or makes you a little upset, but you're too busy to think about it and you're too busy to process it. So you just move to the next thing and you don't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weekend comes and it's like these feelings, I've noticed a pattern in my life from when I was an undergrad, and it's continued all the way into grad school. But bringing mindfulness into my everyday life, practicing meditation daily, has really helped me to see this feeling more objectively. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, I noticed I was feeling depressed, and I was able to just notice that feeling and let it be there and be okay with it.
Right.
And, you know, my friend, this a couple weeks ago, my friend came over to do yoga, and I told her, okay, I got to warn you. Remember how I told you I get really grumpy on the weekends? I'm incredibly grumpy right now. And so she was like kind of walking on eggshells around me, trying not to make me mad.
Right.
And I told her like, oh, you don't need to walk on eggshells around me. Like it's okay. I'm feeling really grumpy, but I'm kind of okay with that. Like I'm fine feeling grumpy, and I'm not acting out on it. I'm not like, you know, snapping at people. And
right. Because you were aware.
Yeah. Because I'm aware
that much.
I'm aware of the grumpiness, and you don't have to like watch what you say around me. I'm not going to like, it's just, I'm okay with this feeling.
Yeah. And that really highlights another important, part of being a human, at least, or in my experiences, we are incredibly amazing to hold many of those things that we're not even aware of, or that we are, that could just be, I mean, somebody's entire actions were altered because of what they thought of you experiencing or being a little grumpy, but really that was just one small aspect of who you are and what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty neat as well, and we're just capable of so much that we limit ourselves, it seems.
Yeah, limit ourselves with stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, then that goes on to keeping us from stepping right back into where it could all fall into place, or we can become mindful, is it's always possible to just become aware.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of...
Yeah.
You don't even have to fix it right away or drop the story. We can just start by becoming aware of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that story can still be there. Like, that grumpiness was still there. It was there the whole day.
And it didn't have to ruin the whole day.
It didn't ruin my day.
Horrible person. No. The next day, even. Yeah. If you never even became aware, it's like we can just become aware again.
Yeah. Yeah. I was able to do yoga and be with my friend. And I actually ended up having a great day by the end. And it was fine. And I didn't push the feeling away. I didn't deny it was there. I didn't try to ignore it. I actually brought my awareness to it and allowed the space for it to just be there with me, like you would bring a friend along with you.
Right. Yeah. So could you dive into that a little bit more? How do you just allow it to be there instead of pushing it away? What is one way to do that?
Well, you mentioned earlier becoming aware of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's the first place I go. So when I'm feeling an emotion that's overwhelming or that's strong, be it sadness, anger, or happiness and joy, the first thing I like to do is notice where I'm feeling it in my body. One that I feel frequently as being a grad student is anxiety. I feel a lot of anxiety.
I think that's just a little bit of being alive,
too. Yeah, being alive. Exactly. And I'll notice that I feel that in my chest. I feel it like right around where my heart is. And a lot of times it feels like almost like a panicky feeling. It's hard to put into words, but kind of like a vibration of like, oh no, like panic, I can't do it. And I notice the thoughts. So I bring my awareness to the body, and then I start to notice the thoughts, and I just let myself feel it. A lot of times when we start to feel anxiety or fear or sadness, we might notice it for a second and then we don't want to feel it.
Right.
Because it's uncomfortable. It's not pleasant. And so we try to push it away and like, oh, I'm going to distract myself. I'm going to go for a walk or I'm going to, you know, do whatever, watch TV. And instead of doing that, I actually put my awareness on it and open myself up to it and let myself feel those sensations. Because really, that's all they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, it's bodily sensations. My heart is beating fast. I have a fluttering feeling in my chest. And I have some words in my head that say, I can't do it. I'm not going to make it. And I'm like, okay, I'm noticing this fluttering feeling and these words. And I'm going to choose to still do this thing because it's important to me.
Wow. Yeah, so it seems like that's why when we're trying something is completely scary and somebody's like, why would I want to experience this fully? Seems like a little bit of advice could be, well, you know, what is it? And where do you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Because what it may just boil down to is bodily sensations and then thoughts around it instead of the world ending or you're going to fail or whatever, and being open to that. Because it sounds, and it definitely feels scary. Feels very scary to all of a sudden, something you've outran all your life, even yourself. I mean, that's why a lot of people don't meditate. They say it's boring or there's nothing there because they've constantly been distracted and ran from who they are and they don't know that.
Yeah.
But anyways, to then say, well, stop and be with that. Stop and turn around and look directly into what you've been running away from.
Yeah.
It sounds very frightening.
Definitely. And it's the opposite of what you've learned your whole life.
Right.
What everyone has taught you, right? If you feel bad, take a pill. If you feel bad, you know, go for a walk. Or just be happy. Put a smile on your face. Turn that frown upside down. Right? You hear that. That's the message we get. That's the message we get in this culture and we've gotten our whole lives. And so it's really counterintuitive to think, oh, when I'm feeling something unpleasant, maybe I should turn towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not our first reaction.
Right. It, on the surface, it sounds counterintuitive because now I've just realized it is exactly like pushing the door and it won't open, so we keep pushing it instead of pulling on it. Or it sounds counterintuitive, like, why would I do that? But if we've been outrunning it or trying to and it hasn't worked, that is actually on a little deeper level the counterintuitive thing to do, not very logical thing.
That's a great point.
It's like the old simile I always use is picking up the remote and trying to either change the channel or turn it on or off or whatever it is, and it's not working, but we keep doing it. instead of trying another button or just whatever the situation is, we keep doing what doesn't work. And so on the surface, it sounds counterintuitive, actually. now that I think about it. But really, it may be the most logical thing to do if we're not content, but we keep doing the same old things, expecting a different outcome. Sounds a little...
it's illogical.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like it would really work, but we keep ourselves busy and not focus on that. Maybe we just weren't doing it right.
Yeah. And it becomes a habit. You know,
right.
The more you do something...
you don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, the more you do something, the more likely you are to do it the next time. And the more we do one action, we're practicing that action, you know? Mm-hmm. As every time we do something, we're practicing that thing. So it becomes a habit, and there's kind of a momentum behind habits, mm-hmm. right? And so it becomes our first reaction, our first natural knee-jerk response.
Right.
And if we're not aware of it, it's pretty likely that we'll do that thing that we've practiced.
Mm-hmm. But this can be some good news, actually, because since we are conditioning our minds to what we repetitively do becomes habitual and the automatic thing to where we're not even thinking about it, or to the point where we don't even realize that's happening, is this same thing can be applied to whatever. It can be applied to mindfulness,
yeah.
to awareness, to these healthy states of mind. And so you weren't just born not able to do it. You've gone 20, 30, how many years conditioning your mind for something else. And so this practicing, that's why we talk about a meditation practice, whether formal on a cushion or throughout our lives. We're talking about practicing because it's over and over. The mind wanders and comes back. We bring ourselves to this present moment over and over again. We can always start over. You haven't screwed up big enough. You can always start again and bring your awareness to that. But that's the great thing, is any state of mind, any action, any object of awareness, coming in back and bringing that over and over,
yeah.
then is actually cultivating it.
Mm-hmm.
We are allowing this to arise more and more in the future.
Yeah.
More and more even right now, because this is kind of the actions we're taking now usually come to fruition.
Yeah, and if anybody out there has actually tried meditation and found it to be difficult, this is good news. Is it really? It just gets easier, you know.
Right.
I mean, because the more you do it, the more of a habit it becomes, and then you've got the momentum on that side,
right,
of the equation. So,
which is really neat. Neuroplasticity has even shown how the physical regions of the brain can change, and it makes sense. We picked up negative mind states. We've picked up habits. We've learned them once. It makes sense we can unlearn them, and we can learn other things. And that's what neuroplasticity, the ability for the mind and brain to change, is through exactly this. It may be uncomfortable in the beginning. It may sound counterintuitive. But why not open ourselves up to it and give it a shot? Become aware, become curious, and like I always say, invest a little in our minds. In cultivating these healthy states and investing in ourselves ends up affecting and helping so many others. So I'm just amazed how quickly time flies, and I'm very grateful to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much, and it's been a very enlightening and wonderful conversation. And so... thank you very much.
Yeah. Have a great day out there.
And so, folks, as always, I'd like to give you a little bit of a chance to put some of these ideas into practice. We can talk all day long about the benefits, the scientific findings. You can take very wise and wonderful people's word for it. You can read those academic journals and studies yourselves. You can read about the techniques. You can read a million books probably soon. You can even listen on the radio about mindfulness. But even better than all of that is we can just try it out in every moment, and don't feel like that's a daunting task. It just takes one moment, just right now, to be aware. And then if you've wandered, we just come back and we try to bring our awareness to whatever we're doing. And we try this out with an open curiosity. We've talked about formal practice to take some time out or some time away, some me time, downtime, whatever you want to call it. You know, and it can be just watching the river flowing by, writing poetry, going for a walk. It can be whatever that time is, but also it can be a very ordinary experience. It can just be right now. You don't even have to stop what you're doing. You may be studying, maybe working, may even be doing the dishes. We have this incredible ability to bring our mind, our awareness, to what we're doing. And notice what that's like to the things around us, the sensations of the dishes, or the keyboard if you're typing, a book or pencil in your hand, birds chirping, a fan blowing. Again, not trying to label or figure out or think about what's happening. Just notice it. Feel yourself in a seat or walking on the earth, the sensations. Bringing your awareness to notice what is actually happening in this moment. What does it actually feel like to be alive? What is it like when we're sending emails? Or reacting and saying words to people without stepping back and actually being aware of what we're saying? Or typing. And so it's not a running away to figure out what it feels like, but just in that moment, a difficult conversation, a difficult email. As we bring our awareness, what's the difference of when we're doing that versus unmindfully? We can struggle meditating in the beginning or bringing our awareness to what we're feeling. But we can always become more interested in the sensations and the thoughts we're having around those sensations, aware that they're thoughts coming and going. Just feel the breath as you breathe in, the energy, the aliveness. And let go of any tension or stress as you breathe out, not altering what you're doing, not forcing the breath. Just becoming aware of what is happening in this moment. And see what that opens up for you in your daily life. Feeling the energy, clean air as you breathe in, the sensations maybe at the nose, the palate, the back of the throat, the chest expanding, the stomach rising, letting go as you breathe out. Releasing anything you've been carrying around from the day, or that you think might happen the rest of the day or tomorrow. Just be with what is happening as it is, without layering on our ideas and judgments, our labels, how we're supposed to be or how it should be. But just what is actually happening with life right now. just from moment to moment, doesn't have to be a daunting task. Any baggage we've carried over can just set down for the moment. It's a bit like coming home from work or at the end of a semester or even an argument. We keep carrying that around until the next moment, the next confrontation. But we have the chance to just set that down. Semester may have ended. Semester may have just begun. Our work day's over or has just begun, but we don't have to carry around what has happened prior. We can just set that down like a heavy bag. Feel the weight lift from our shoulders as we breathe. Not only is it helpful to release the tension and stress, it be relaxing if you're tightened, but this also allows us space. It allows us to come back to the present moment, to what is happening. So we're a little more clear seeing. It's not necessarily a goal you're trying to all of a sudden be, force yourself to be, but just in this moment, can I be aware? Can I set this tension down? So my next interaction with a spouse or a friend, coworker, can be that interaction, not what I'm carrying and bringing to it, not what I'm expecting them to say or how they react, but just fully being present with what I'm doing at this moment. At this moment, and at this moment. And again, it can just be something we're curious to check out. This can be something to support any practice you have. Some of you out there, if you're interested, as I've mentioned before, about opportunities, the different groups around the valley that are on our webpage, or you can email us at usumeditationclub@gmail.com. There's also a wonderful opportunity, a retreat coming up, July 31st. Seems like a ways away, but before you know it, it'll be here. Summer flying by. Just thinking about it in the present moment. I know this is the future, but just mark your calendar if this is something you're interested in. There's a retreat with a wonderful teacher, two teachers actually, Susie Harrington and Alexis Santos. They'll be offering a meditation, an insight mindfulness retreat. It's in Paradise. That's just south of Logan. It's actually in a camp. There's lodging available or camping. There's a three-day option, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's July 31st to August 2nd. Or you can stay on for 6 days, July 31st through August 5th. You can email for more questions about that or register at desertdharma.org. That's DESERTDHARMA.org. And that's just an offer out there if you'd like to take that up or check that out. That is completely up to you. If not, there's always mindfulness on air every Thursday or other groups. Lots of information out there if you want to check that out. And so, once again, you're listening to Aggie Radio. Everybody, stay mindful and be safe over the weekend. Enjoy whatever you may do and be aware.